Today I'm going to have a Brother Tim read to you from the book of Jeremiah. If you want to find in your pew Bible, if you're using your pew Bible, it's on page 913. If you're using your own Bible, of course, Jeremiah 33. And the text says verses 14 to 22. So thanks, Brother Tim.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called: the Lord our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack for a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor shall the priests, the Levites, lack a man to offer burnt offerings before me, to kindle grain offerings, and to sacrifice continuously. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sands of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David my servant and the Levites who minister to me.
All right, thanks be to God for his word. You've heard the promises that are in the prophets. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning for your blessing through the explication of your word. We thank you, Father, for the promises laid up of old. And we thank you, Lord, for the time of fulfillment that is now upon us. And since the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ has been the good news preached to the whole world, help us to understand, Lord, the movements of your word today for Jesus' sake, our Savior. Amen. All right, will you now turn, please, to Acts 3, where we are. Acts 3. Last week we started looking at the man who was healed, who was sitting at the beautiful gate begging. And I read you the whole chapter last week, Acts 3. And if you'd humor me, please, I'd like to look at it again, starting in verse 11, and just go through what Peter says, and then we'll take it apart a little bit, and then we'll be jumping back and forth around these verses here. So that's on page 1255. You're using your pew Bible, Acts 3:11. After the man was healed, it says, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which, here it is, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, including Jeremiah, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. All right, so here we have this, we had this miraculous healing at the beautiful gate of the temple. Of course, the facts of the incident are simple enough to grasp. We had the man who was daily had to be carried, right? He can't walk, so he's carried daily, and he is set down at the gate of the temple to ask alms of those who are passing in and out. Peter and John were going in to pray. They saw him, they addressed him, and prompted by the Holy Spirit, they said to him, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. And Peter, you know, reaches out, grasps him by the hand, pulls him up, and in the act of responding to Peter's pull, the man is instantly and completely healed by the power of Jesus Christ. And so he goes leaping with joy, right, walking back and forth, running through the temple, praising God, and leaving behind forever his beggarly life. Okay, and of course, everybody on the temple grounds is amazed. You know, they all had seen him there. They all knew who he was and for how many years he had been brought and laid down there at the gate to beg alms. Okay, so like I said, the facts are pretty straightforward. The explanation of the thing is what's most significant. So that brings us here to Peter's second recorded sermon in the book of Acts. They're starting in 3:12. Right, all the people come rushing over to witness this great wonder, and Peter once again gives them the thing that matters the most, which is the gospel of salvation, right? The invitation into the long-promised kingdom of God. That's what matters most, right? It's worth noting, as other people have done, what did Peter not do at this point? He did not look around and say, now who else would like to be healed? Right? Line up everybody and let come all get your healing, right? He didn't do that before preaching Jesus. He didn't do it after preaching Jesus. He didn't do it, right? The critical thing is the gospel, the word, right? There is a message of your salvation, Jesus Christ, right? I did not come into the world to solve everybody's physical maladies while leaving men and women's souls in perdition. Right? I came to save sinners. Okay, now look, friends, in the age to come, you will be whole. Do you understand? You will be healed. But this great and mighty deed done here by the Lord Jesus, it was not for its own sake. Right? We talked about this last time. It's a sign. Right? God is acting. God is speaking to you, my brothers. Right? God is summoning you to receive complete, permanent, everlasting wholeness through reconciliation with himself, right? He's, pay attention, my brothers, right? God is trying to get your attention. And the people say, you have our attention. Okay, so the important thing then is to listen to what Peter has to say, which kind of reminds me a little bit of when Jesus was out in the wilderness with the 5,000, right? It says in Mark 6 that Jesus saw this large crowd. Right, and they were fainting for weariness, right? It says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So what? He began teaching them many things. That's what it says, right? Teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God. That's the main function of Jesus' ministry until, of course, the time comes for him to do his atoning work on the cross. Okay, all his miracles were signs to signal to people that there's someone that you have to listen to, right? Someone has been sent to you and you should listen to him. And you know, he himself said as much that really what good is a miracle? What does it get you if you don't repent? Right? What good is it to be whole and to be thrown into hell? Right? The same thing will happen to you unless you repent. Right? All of the miracle bread in the world, yeah, can feed you for the rest of your life, but it won't do you any good if you don't listen to the master teach. Right? People say, what shall we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, the work of God is to believe in the one that he sent. Right? So listen to Peter now, teach the people. Right? The miracle is amazing, right? And the miracle really happened. But its purpose is to serve as a sign so that people are going to listen now to God's messenger. Okay, so you see he begins verse 12 by saying what this is not. Okay, this is not a special power that John and I have that we go around using on whoever we see fit. We did not learn how to do this by studying. We didn't cast a spell. We are not here to lord it over you and gain your applause and mesmerize you with what we can do. Which we saw in summer Sunday school, that's kind of what you see in all of these faith healers today. Okay, everybody says, ooh, ah, you know, what a holy man he is, right? He has this special anointing, right? Everybody line up and get your share of the healing power, and that's what it's all about. It's about the healing power. And, you know, he knocks over another one, and everybody applauds and cheers, and then they buy tickets to the next show where you can see it all over again, right? Silver and gold have I none is hardly the case today, is it? Right? These days, actually, what you see is the opposite. You have the healers looking at the crippled ones and expecting silver and gold. Right? I mean, imagine that, if that took place here. Can you imagine Peter and John walking by this man and saying, now look at us. And then he looks up and gives them their attention. And they say to him, now did you remember to plant your seed money? Right, I see you don't have very much there in your basket. Why don't you get back to us when your basket is full? Because you know how it works, right? When you give to God, he gives to you. You know, when you let go of something with this hand, God lets go of something with this hand. That's how it works, right? No. Right? Silver and gold, I have none. And I say, shame on them all. Right? Peter says, verse 12, why do you marvel at this? What are you gawking at? You ought to know. Right, you are the children of Israel. You ought to know, if anybody knows, who is responsible for a thing such as this. Right? Are you not the descendants of the ones who saw 10 great miracles in Egypt? Are you not the descendants of those who walked across the bottom of the Red Sea on dry land, who ate the manna in the wilderness, who drank water out of the rock, those who saw the walls of Jericho fall down flat? They saw the sun stand still over the battlefield. Right, this is your God, children of Israel, right? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. He has glorified his servant Jesus. Right? Now, the God of our fathers told us in his word, told us through all his prophets, that these days were going to come. Now they're here. Right? The days of fulfillment are upon you, Peter said. Do you think he has their attention? Okay? So this has something to do, actually, with the nature of Holy Scripture and why it's important that we have it and why it's important that we know what's in it, right? Because in it, and I refer to the Old Testament part, right? The same God who worked all of these wonders long ago not only worked the wonders, but through his prophets, he said repeatedly, again, to generation after generation, future days are coming when I will send a deliverer for you, right? And my anointed servant who will carry out all my goodwill, right? Bring my redemption plan to fruition, right? Through God's prophets, he informs them again and again, such a one is coming. And when he comes, you should be prepared to heed him, listen to him, obey him, right? And so if you look at verse 22, like I said, now we're going to jump around this little section here. Verse 22, Moses said to our fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren. Right? This is a prediction. It's something for the future from Moses' point of view. Right? The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be utterly cut off or destroyed from among the people. That's a direct quote from Deuteronomy, right? One of the books of Moses, Deuteronomy 18. Okay, the Moses, the great deliverer of a generation, that great servant of God, said that a greater one than himself would be coming in his pattern, in his likeness, and that's God's chosen one. Going on there, 24, Peter says, in fact, all the prophets from Samuel on down, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. What days, right? The days in which there would be a deliverer of Israel. There's a Savior sent to rescue God's afflicted ones, a righteous judge, a man after God's own heart, right? A shepherd to rule my people Israel, right? Go to the Old Testament and pick your prophet. You will see that the anointed one, the Son of God and his kingdom is foretold by that prophet, right? Phrases like, in that day. All right, Malachi has a good one. In that day you shall go out leaping like calves released from the stall. Right? Isaiah said, in that day the lame shall leap like a deer, like a hart. Right? Behold, this is Malachi again. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and then the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant you delight in. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord Jehovah of hosts. So you hear Peter saying, all the prophets from Samuel on down have foretold these days, our days. He says to this crowd, your eyes have seen all this, right? You know that he first sent John to baptize, right? To baptize for repentance. Then he sent his son doing signs and wonders. You saw them. He did them in your midst. You're the descendants of all those former generations. You're the heirs of the covenants, the promise, right, that God made with Abraham to bless all peoples through his seed. You're that seed, right? Jesus Christ is the blessing that God has sent you. That's verse 26. To you first, God, having, right, fulfilled that oath, he is sending you Jesus to turn you away from your iniquities. So you can see Peter saying, can't you see this, my brothers? It's the same Jesus who walked here in Jerusalem and up in Galilee. He did these wondrous works. He's the one that God sent in the fulfillment of all those old promises that you and I grew up in our Bible lessons. Right, men of Israel, you know the scriptures. Okay, look, do you see why it's important to know the Old Testament scriptures and to see how Christ is clearly foretold there? Okay, starting in Genesis up to Malachi, right, long before you ever get open up Book of Matthew, right, 400 years before Mary conceives a baby, right, 4,000 years even, right, the whole Old Testament is packed with promises of the Messiah, this one to come, right, the God of Abraham has done this thing, right, so you go all the way back to Genesis 12, when God says to Abraham, I'll make you a father of many nations. I'm going to bless all nations through your seed. Like I said, pick a prophet, you pick a book. The anointed one can be found there. His kingdom, promises about his kingdom can be found there. Sometimes those promises are very glorious, right? The Son of David sitting, ruling on his throne, ruling the nations, a world of peace and tranquility, a world where nature is released from the curse, a world purged of sin and enemies. Right? Sometimes those promises, though, are kind of head scratchers. He was despised and afflicted. Right? I am a worm and not a man. I have spent my strength in vain. Right? Him whom the nation rejected. But my times are in your hands, O God. Into your hands I commit my spirit. I know that he who justifies me is with me, and I shall not be ashamed. Right? So Peter's preaching all of these. All these pieces are falling into place for this crowd in the temple. Okay, verse 13. Look, he says, remembered how you delivered him up. You denied him in the presence of Pilate when Pilate was about to let him go. But you denied him, the Holy One and the Just. So verse 14. You asked for a murderer to be granted to you instead, and you killed the Prince of Life, right? The one that Moses and all the prophets insisted, right? God is going to send, he's going to raise up this one from among your brothers. You destroyed him. Okay, but stay with me. Peter says, verse 17, okay, brothers, I know you did this in ignorance. Your rulers also, they did it in ignorance. Okay, but look, consider the things that God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, the Messiah would suffer, he fulfilled them by your hands, right? All those head-scratching passages about how the Lord made him a sacrifice for sin, how it pleased the Lord to crush him, they pierced my hands and feet, right? We esteemed him not. My God, why have you forsaken me? That was God fulfilling his word through his prophets, right? God said he was going to do all these things that you know happened right here in our city. Okay, he said he was going to send such a man as you know Jesus Christ himself to be. You denied him. You killed him. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bringing his very word to pass in real time, right in front of your face and at your hands. You didn't even know what you were doing. Okay, yeah, you knew you were killing a man, but what you didn't know, right? And you can almost see the comprehension dawning in the faces of these listeners, right? Saying, good heavens, good heavens. Right? Peter says, verse 15, we are witnesses that God has raised this Jesus from the dead. Right? And you can be assured that he is raised from the dead because, verse 16, it is his power, right? It's by faith in him which has made this man perfectly well, that you all see and know, right? The faith which comes through him, through Jesus, has given this man the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Okay? Understand, my brothers, and know this, men of Israel, that the God that we've always feared, the God that we've always worshipped, the God who called our father Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans, and his son Isaac, and his son Jacob, a.k.a. Israel, right? The father of our 12 tribes, God is working a work in front of your face in order to bring you back to himself, to keep his covenant with you, and right, not only the promise that he made to Abraham, but the new covenant, which we read in Jeremiah, the new covenant that he promised through the prophets, right? The days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest, says the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Right? Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up to David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness on the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell safely. And the name by which he shall be called is the Lord, our righteousness. Right? Peter's going, do you hear me, brothers? All the prophets from Samuel on down have foretold our days, these days. Here it is. Okay, 26. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So going back up to verse 19, so what then? Repent, therefore. Repent, my brothers, and be converted, that your sins, just like the scripture said, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Hey, you know the kinds of passages we're talking about, right? In that day, that fountains will burst forth in the wilderness, right? The dry land will become a pool. My people shall return there with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads, right? Times of refreshing from the Lord. And verse 20, that he may send, right? Send him back, Jesus, the Christ, who was preached to you before. Some versions say the Christ that was appointed for you. And verse 21 says that now he is in heaven, and he must remain in heaven until the great day comes, and the day of restoration of all things, which God, you know the prophets, God spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. All right, I say it's important for you to know your Bible. I would also say that if you know your Bible, but your Bible knowledge is not leading you to the one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then your Bible knowledge isn't worth very much. You understand? I mean, you can memorize all kinds of verses, but unless you repent and be converted and give your life to the Savior, right, the Son of God, who is the focus of all Scripture, old and new, then your knowledge of the verses really will get you nowhere. You know how Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have life, but the Scriptures testify about me." Right? So Peter and John said, "Why do you look at us?" Why would anybody today, for example, look to Mary and ask Mary, "Pray for us now and at the hour of our death?" Right? Mary would say, "What are you looking at me for?" Right? Why does anyone call upon any saint or any other person or any other means other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself? You know, why do people think that they gain points with God by any other thing than by the one that all of divine revelation testifies to, Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Right? They gain points by giving alms. They gain points by going to services. They gain points by lighting candles, saying prayers to the saints, or whatever it is. Not by any other name, saint, whoever. Okay? All the prophets testify to one man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Moses said, "Whoever does not heed him will be surely cut off from among the people of God." Okay, so why repent? Why repent? It's because you're being confronted with the acts of God, the undeniable work of God, right in front of your face. Right? Even the Jews' efforts to remove Jesus from and rid themselves from him, that was written about in ancient times, and in fact was the very means that God used to purchase the pardon of sinners. Right? "They pierced my hands and feet" was written 1,000 years before they pierced his hands and feet. You didn't even know you were fulfilling the scripture when you were doing it. Right? "Cursed is the one who is hanged on a tree" was written 400 years before that. Right? You were fulfilling God's word all along, but it was by that he was opening the way to save you. Right? How can you not be stunned and amazed and frankly frightened that even when the powers that be resist the Lord Jesus Christ, God is still relentlessly in love moving his program of redemption forward, his grace and mercy, even to those who were doing the evil? Right? That, to me, that makes me swallow hard and realize there is no resisting God, right? There's no scheme, no counsel, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. He's the master of the ages. Right? He's the master of history, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God who is active today, the God who will enthrone his Son on the throne of the world. Right? He's raised him from the dead and glorified him. So repent. Right? You stand face to face with that God. And he has shown his goodwill toward you if you will simply repent, turn to God, turn away from your iniquities. And you know what the promises of the prophets say: your sins, which are many, will be all washed away. Right? And the promise of God, he'll restore your soul. Right? Times of refreshing from the Lord. He will cause you to lay yourself down in peace and sleep. For the Lord Jehovah of hosts himself will be your light and your salvation. And someday, probably very soon, when he sends Jesus Christ, you will be received into the everlasting kingdom of that Messiah, which all the prophets have spoken about, where sorrow and sighing will flee away. The scripture says, "The meek shall inherit the earth and will delight themselves in the abundance of peace." That's God's offer to you. If you will repent, turn away from your iniquities, and be reconciled to God. Let's pray and be thankful. Heavenly Father, you are the one and only God there is. You are the God who has conceived and brought to pass our salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. It is frankly stunning and awe-inspiring to look over the course of hundreds and hundreds of years as you constructed this plan and brought it into being. How you sent Jesus to reveal your will to the world, to walk perfectly, to teach us, to bring us light, to bring us out of the darkness, to instruct us in the way we ought to go, and then to lay down his life, shed his blood, so that our sins could be washed away, purged from us and that we could know you as our Father, not just as a fearful God, but as a compassionate Father who loves his children and has all kinds of good blessings in store for them. Lord, we come to you as sons and daughters, and we beg for your forgiveness. And we know, Lord God, you are willing to forgive. You have proved it to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We rejoice in him. We thank you for our Christian fellowship. Thank you for the hopes that we have of scriptures as yet unfulfilled, but coming soon. And we anticipate that heavenly kingdom of glory to come down and fill the earth with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be so soon. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray, and save us. In your name we pray. Amen.